Good afternoon, 4:30 and 75 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
I mean, we can live in a secure state if we clamp down and we have no freedom to travel, you know, and we give up all of our privacy to travel. I just don't think that's necessary.
Senator Rand Paul says TSA officials should stop confiscating the cell phones of Americans returning to the U.S. after traveling overseas. Governor Bevin says a special session of the legislature will be called after August 15th, and a new park may be developed in Olive Hill. In sports, the Reds try to make it two straight over the Cardinals at GABP tonight. Bud Luke has the stocks. Cloudy this evening with a low around 50. A full check of that forecast after this news. Officials at the Bluegrass Airport say a commercial passenger flight was delayed and another diverted when a small private plane veered off a runway after landing. Spokeswoman Amy Caudill says the runway at the Lexington Airport was closed for about an hour today after the twin-engine plane had the mishap about 7 o'clock this morning. She says there were no injuries. Caudill says a Delta flight scheduled to fly from Lexington to Minneapolis was delayed more than a half hour while the runway was closed, and a Legion flight from Punta Gorda, Florida, was diverted to a Tennessee airport but eventually landed in Lexington shortly before 10 a.m. Kentucky's Republican governor says a special session of the state legislature will happen after August 15th. The General Assembly adjourned for the year in April, but Governor Matt Bevin has said he will call them back for a special session to overhaul the state's tax code and public pension system. Bevin sent a letter today to all 138 members of the legislature and told them he does not plan to call a special session before August 15th. Bevin says that's out of respect to our families and summer schedules. An official with the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet told state lawmakers in Frankfort this afternoon that the agency's budget will be trimmed by 1% in accordance with Governor Bevin's request. Rick Taylor is deputy commissioner of the KTC. He testified before House and Senate members of the Transportation Committee.
Well, within our department, we're certainly, we take a look constantly about trying to find savings, and so we will take a look at that. We don't have a whole lot of extra money in the Department of Vehicle Regulation, but we will find the 1%.
The governor in May asked most state agencies to come up with plans to reduce their budgets by 1%. Bevin said the move is necessary to avoid an expected shortfall of $113 million when the fiscal year ends on June 30th. Kentucky's public pension system has $40 billion in unfunded liability, and the situation isn't getting any better. That's according to the chairman of the Senate State and Local Government Committee. Joe Bowen discussed the issue Monday on KET's Kentucky Tonight.
Pensions have grown five times faster than revenues in the state of Kentucky over the last several years. We've had a $7 billion negative cash flow in the KRS and TRS system from 2006 to 2016. It's going to take somewhere near $700 million more than the current $1.5 billion that we're currently appropriating.
Kentucky Chamber of Commerce President David Atkison says the magnitude of the problem underscores the need for the legislature to take action this year. He also appeared on the KET program.
You've got legislators who have had a very robust legislative session, but there's not an election in the fall. You've got a governor that's not up for re-election right now. 2018, you get right back into the state's budget, which will have to be written in the general session. So in that sense, I think the governor is correct that it needs to be dealt with in this year.
Atkison says the problem will just get worse if there is further delay. Maysville City Commission continues to work on its 2017-18 budget. MSPR's Tilden Johnson has more.
According to the Ledger Independent, during a Monday budget workshop, City Manager Matt Wallingford proposed various changes to the plan, including putting off a $1 million project to upgrade Hardyman Landing in order to have a better shot at getting a Transportation Alternatives Program grant next year. While the proposed budget shows a projected deficit of $800,000, Wallingford and Comptroller Perry Francis promised the city will finish in the black as it did last year when a deficit was also projected. Maysville's finances will be helped by $9.5 million in carryover funds. The new budget is expected to get its first reading on Thursday. For MSPR News, I'm Tilton Johnson.
The executive director for the Morehead-Rowan County Economic Development Council believes good things are on the horizon for the area. Bob Helton says he's been working on a handful of key economic development initiatives in recent months and hopes to announce something soon.
These projects take a good deal of time, but we do have a couple of three interesting projects in the pot right now, and one of them I think is really strong and hopefully we'll be coming to a point where we can talk about it in not too distant future.
Helton says he's also been marketing Rowan County as a place where companies in the aerospace industry would thrive. He's been using Morehead State University's Space Science Center as one of his recruiting tools. He notes Brady Industries plans to invest $1.3 billion to build a plant in South Shore that will begin producing aluminum for the aeronautics and automotive industries in 2020. The future of Rowan County's former middle school remains uncertain. The school was closed 7 years ago when the district opened its new middle school on Route 32 North. The facility currently houses the Rowan School System's central offices and some of its other programs, such as the Early Learning Center. Superintendent Marvin Moore says while the Board of Education has batted around ideas for what to do with the old middle school, no decisions have been made.
We did have it appraised. Of course, I can't talk about that appraisal right now, but it's a nice piece of property. Where else in Morehead, I told the board, where else in Morehead can you go downtown Morehead pretty much and find 10.7 acres, and it's pretty much flat.
The district bought the building that's currently home to the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College in 2015. It will move its central offices into that facility in the next year or two. Olive Hill may be getting a new park, MSPR's Chas Jenkins reports.
According to the Grayson Journal-Inquirer, the nonprofit Galaxy Project recently got a $12,500 grant. They will use the money to create conceptual designs for a park that will be located on the former property of Cowden Sewing on Railroad Street next to the Olive Hill Senior Community Center. The Galaxy Project hired the Community Design Assistance Center of the Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University to help design the facility. So far, members of the CDAC, the Galaxy Project, and the community have made several changes to the park's original plan. As of now, no final decisions have been made. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chas Jenkins.
Kentucky's junior senator told Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly today that he wants to prevent federal officials from confiscating the electronic devices of Americans returning to the U.S. after traveling to another country. Republican Rand Paul cited several incidents during which, he says, U.S. citizens were detained, ordered to turn over their cell phones, and reveal the PIN numbers so authorities could check the contents. The senator calls that horrific.
We have actually introduced legislation to try to stop you from doing this and to make you go to a court the way we do in our country. Typically, we go to a court and you ask a judge and you have to present evidence. You have to specify an individual and you have to have a reason for doing it.
Paul says his legislation would not prevent checks of luggage or handbags. He says information on a cell phone is far more personal. Secretary Kelly says transportation security agents rarely demand to see a traveler's electronic devices. He says they need to have a compelling reason to do so. U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell says Senate Republicans will come up with a plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. McConnell spoke to reporters at a press conference this afternoon in Washington. He says the GOP caucus has been meeting regularly and is determined to bring a bill to the floor.
We're getting close to having a proposal to whip and to take to the floor. We've had 7 years to talk about health care. The status quo is obviously completely unsustainable. The American people are looking to us for help, and we intend to provide it.
McConnell says Congress must act because health care exchanges across the country are collapsing and people are being left with fewer and fewer choices. The outgoing president of the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce and former Secretary of State Trey Grayson says he's not sure what he's going to do next. Grayson announced last week he's leaving the chamber. However, he tells Spectrum News he hasn't yet decided on his next job. Grayson is quick to point out, though, a return to politics is not at the top of his list.
I don't have any plans to run for politics. I don't mean that even in a cute way. You know, I have plans to make plans. Like, no, I'm not running for office next year. Something in the future, maybe. You know, I enjoyed that opportunity. I got to win two races. And so someday, sure, if an opportunity presented itself, I might want to do that.
Grayson has headed the Northern Kentucky Chamber since 2014. He was Kentucky's top election official from 2003 to 2011. A mild winter could mean a larger supply of road salt for Rowan County's road department. According to Judge Executive Walter Blevins, this is a good time to buy salt since its cost is down right now. He says the county recently received a bid from the Kentucky Association of Counties for road salt at $62 a ton, which is $12 below last year's price.
We may look at trying to even build another salt dome ourselves, not a dome, but at least a salt place where we can put our salt and keep it under out of the weather. And maybe at this way these prices are, it'd be maybe wise to do that. We may save some money and have another. We've got room out there. We could probably add another one.
Blevin says Rowan County currently has over 600 tons of road salt available. Ohioans may soon have a chance to purchase a license plate that would raise money for research into a type of cancer that often strikes children. It's known as DIPG and is always fatal. A southern Ohio woman who lost her 10-year-old son to the disease last year is spearheading the effort. Rebecca Bradley's son Kyle died in April 2016, just 6 months after being diagnosed with DIPG. The Fairfield Township woman says funds from the purchase of the special Kyle Strong Foundation license plate would go to try to find a cure.
Our foundation gives 100% to DIPG research. Within 7 months of the start of our foundation, we gave $44,000 to Cincinnati Children's Hospital for DIPG research. We donated Kyler's tumor and brain to research at Cincinnati Children's Hospital.
Bradley made her appeal to the Ohio Senate's Transportation, Commerce, and Workforce Committee. And finally, this afternoon, organizers are busy preparing for Moorhead's annual downtown 4th of July celebration. According to Mayor Jim Tom Trent, this will be the third year for the Fazoli's Freedom Fest.
When I first took over, some of us got together, and Joy Brown brought it to us. She's our director of tourism, and we decided we'd try it, and it's been very, very well received. It's gotten bigger each year, and this year's even going to be bigger than the previous two. So, you know, it's one of those things we want to be known for. It's want to be a signature event.
Freedom Fest is actually scheduled to be held on Saturday, July 1st, starting at 4 p.m. Along with vendors, food, and plenty of music, there will be several special activities for children. The event culminates that night with the fireworks show at 9:45 p.m. And here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, including the counties of Rowan, Fleming, and Mason. Partly cloudy tonight with a low around 51. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 70. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 53. Thursday, a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. It'll be partly sunny with a high near 71, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. Then on Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m., partly cloudy and a low around 51. Currently around the region, it is 75 in Ashland and Winchester, 74 in Flemingsburg and Inez, 76 in Lexington, and on the campus of Morehead State University, sunshine and 75 degrees. It is 4:45. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, the nine-hole golf course at Carter Caves Resort Park recently closed, and state officials are now trying to determine what to do with that land. Morehead State Public Radio's Ashley Davidson has the story.
The state shut down the golf course at Carter Caves due to a lack of use and rising maintenance costs. Gil Lawson is a spokesman for the Kentucky Tourism, Arts, and Heritage Cabinet.
They were closed because the play there, the number of games being played, been dropping over the last several years. For example, at Carter Caves, in 2012, we had about 6,000 rounds played there. Last year, 2016, it had dropped to about 4,000 rounds.
Though there's been no word on what could replace the course at Carter Caves, if things go to trend, it could be refurbished as a disc golf course like the one at Rough River Dam, or possibly converted to an archery range similar to such a facility at Kin Lake. Lawson says that though there are no plans for a public forum to discuss the options of what to do with the former golf course, people with ideas still have the opportunity to voice their opinions.
Well, people are free to write us a letter or call us and let us know if they have suggestions. That's perfectly fine. We have not formally asked for any proposals or anything like that, but people are always welcome and often will drop us a note and give us an idea of what they think would make a good attraction at our park. So they're certainly welcome to do that either at our offices in Frankfort or at the park itself.
Though the golf course is closed, Lawson says it is still being utilized by some members of the public.
In the case of Carter Caves, the cart path there is being used as a walking course and a bicycling course. Manager there says so many people were interested and the time of year was right that people are enjoying just walking out there. And so it is being used. It's not just being wasted.
According to the Carter Caves State Resort Park website, the 18-hole mini golf course is still open. Hidden Cove Golf Course at Grayson Lake State Park in Carter County and Eagle Ridge at Yatesville Lake State Park in Lawrence County both remain operational for avid golf enthusiasts. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Ashley Davidson.
It is 4:48. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry, local artwork, mineral specimens, fossils, and treasures from around the globe. Eat Gallery also offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, and gifts for any occasion. Open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will bid for their second straight win over St. Louis as they host the Cardinals again tonight at 7:10. Last night at Great American Ballpark, manager Brian Price's Reds got seventh inning two-run doubles from Eugenio Suarez and Scooter Gennett in rallying past the Cards 4-2.
Yeah, well, we found a way to stay in, almost every game, even with big deficits or small deficits like tonight.
That's Price on Fox Sports Ohio. The Reds will send 3-2 Tim Adelman tonight. St. Louis will send 6-3 Adam Wainwright to the hill. For the first time in program history, the University of Kentucky's baseball team will play in an NCAA tournament super regional. The Wildcats punched their ticket into the event last night with a 10-5 win over NC State in the finals of the Lexington Regional. Afterwards, Coach Nick Mangione said his team got a big assist from the large crowd of UK fans who jammed into Cliff Hagin Stadium.
I want to thank the Big Blue Nation. That was awesome. awesome. Our guys looked up and all the people, and it was just so much blue. I'm just so proud because these young men have done everything we've asked them to do. And when my wife and I took the job here, that's exactly what I pictured.
Kentucky will start action in the Louisville Super Regional this weekend against Louisville. The East Carter girls softball team is gearing up for its second straight visit to the state tournament Sweet 16. The 33-3 Lady Raiders will play Collins on Thursday at 5 p.m. in Owensboro. Coach Derek Calhoun says playing on the big stage a year ago will be a big plus for East going into this week's state finals.
You know, we don't have any girl that's going on our roster that wasn't there last year. So, you know, it shouldn't be, you know, that's what we've talked to the girls all week. You know, it's not going to be anything different. You know, you're going to have the bigger crowds. It's really the only difference in between playing a game at East Carter or playing a game in Owensboro. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we're ready.
Collins won the 8th region title. The Lady Titans are 28-9 this spring. The Kentucky basketball team's non-conference schedule is now set for the 2017-18 season. The non-SEC portion of the schedule is highlighted with games against Kansas on November the 14th, Virginia Tech on December the 16th, UCLA on December the 23rd, the University of Louisville on December the 29th, and a visit to Morgantown to take on West Virginia on January 27th. Kentucky gets the 2017-18 regular season underway when they welcome Utah Valley State into Rupp Arena on November the 10th. After picking up a surprising commitment from five-star forward Brian Bowen over the weekend, the Louisville basketball team has high expectations for next season. UofL head coach Rick Pitino says landing the top 20 prospect was a pretty fortunate turn of events. He spoke with Terry Miners.
I had a AAU director call me and said, would you be interested in a basketball player? And I said, who? And he said, yes, I saw him against another great player from Indiana. And I said, yeah, I would be really interested. But they had to come in unofficially, pay for the hotel, pay for their meals, and we spent $0 recruiting a five-star athlete who I loved when I saw him play. So in my 40-some-odd years of coaching, this is the luckiest I've been.
Bowen's commitment gives Louisville the 12th best class in the country, according to Scout.com. One other note from college basketball, Pittsburgh transfer Cameron Johnson has committed to North Carolina. Johnson averaged 12 points and 5 rebounds a game last year while shooting 42% from three. Fleming County's new boys basketball coach is already on the job. Chris Stapleton got to look at his players for the first time last night during a scrimmage. While he says he likes what he saw from them, the next step is to build his playbook around their abilities.
We'll be a little bit hodgepodge of everything. Fast tempo if we have to. We can slow it down and run half-court offense if we need to. So just kind of adjusting to what we have.
Stapleton, who played at Mason County, comes to Fleming County after three seasons as an assistant coach at Scott High School. He's the Panthers' fifth head coach in seven seasons. A district court judge signed arrest warrants for three Michigan State football players today, Josh King, Donnie Corley, and Demetric Vance. The three players are accused of sexually assaulting a woman at an on-campus apartment in January. King was charged with first and third degree sexual assault, while Corley and Vance were each charged with third degree sexual assault. All three were dismissed from the football team earlier today. Michigan State Athletic Director Mark Hollis says it was a move that just had to be made.
This is my home. It's where my wife and I attended school, where one son and my daughter earned their degree, where my other son will enroll this fall. I expect my home to be safe. Safe to all that live here and safe to all that visit. Like any home, its safety requires shared responsibility and accountability. As athletic director, I am responsible to make tomorrow better than today.
The school has also suspended football staff member Curtis Blackwell. He's not charged with any crimes, but an investigation commissioned by the university found that he violated school policy by speaking to the players and not telling his bosses what he learned from those conversations. And finally in sports, Morehead State University's Athletic Hall of Fame is adding three new members. Here's Chuck Moraz.
The list includes football stars Charles Byrd and Nick Nieswander and women's soccer standout Rebecca Kendall. Currently the New Orleans Saints strength and conditioning coach, Byrd was an All-American cornerback and kick returner for the Eagles in the early 2000s. Nieswander was an All-OVC offensive lineman from 1970 to 73 and was the team's MVP in his final season. Kendall starred for the Eagles soccer program from 2004 through 2007. An All-OVC performer, her 30 goals are tied for the most in the team's history. For MSPR Sports, I'm Chuck Moraz reporting.
And that's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Morehead State men's basketball hosts the 2017 Preston's Bradlin Basketball Camp, June 12th through the 14th at MSU's Johnson Arena. Morning and afternoon sessions for boys and girls entering kindergarten through the 12th grade. There is more information at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed lower as Wall Street hedged bets ahead of key events slated for later this week. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 47.81 at 21,136.23. The S&P 500 was down 6.77 at 2429.33. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 20.63, finishing at 6275.06. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 15 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners. And, of course, former FBI Director Comey is slated to testify Thursday in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee, marking his first public comment since being fired by Trump. Investors also have to be keeping an eye on the ECB, which is meeting this week. And, of course, we have the Federal Reserve meeting next week. And, of course, it's widely anticipated that the Fed will raise rates by 0.25% at the conclusion of next week's meeting. In economic news, job openings hit a record high in April, according to the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, which showed a total of 6 million openings. The economic news continues to be mixed, but at the moment, markets are betting over 90%, or markets are saying that there is over a 90% probability of the Fed raising interest rates next week. Overseas, investors prepared for a general election in the United Kingdom set for this Thursday. While a vast majority of observers still expect May to emerge victorious, a Servation poll published last weekend placed the Prime Minister's ruling right-wing Conservative Party ahead by just a single percentage point. And in trading today, the Pan-European Stock 600 Index dropped about 0.625%, while the British pound slipped 0.1%, finishing at $1.28.9. In the commodities markets, oil was up almost 2%, finishing at $48.30 a barrel, and gold was up about 1%, finishing at $1,296 an ounce. In Asia, stocks finished mixed, with the Nikkei down almost 1% and the Shanghai Index up about 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were ExxonMobil and Chevron. The worst performers were Walmart and Boeing. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Advanced Micro Devices and Newmont Mining, and the worst performers were Macy's and Kohl's. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 39 cents at 66.46, CSX down 8 cents at 53.95, AEP down 27 cents at 72.13, AK Steel down 22 cents at 5.89, and Marathon Petroleum was up 28 cents to finish at 53.08. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Recapping the weather forecast for the MSPR listing area, partly cloudy tonight, low around 51. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 70. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy and a low around 53. Thursday, a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m. Partly sunny with a high near 71. The chance of precipitation is 30%. Thursday night, look for a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m. It'll be partly cloudy with a low around 51. Temperatures around the region, 75 in Winchester and Ashland, 74 in Inez and Flemingsburg, 76 degrees in Lexington, and on the campus of Morehead State University, sunshine and 75 degrees. And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Meraz, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Ashley Davidson, Chaz Jenkins, and Tilden Johnson. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.